Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, good to be with you this morning. We want to get right into a brand new series for this month entitled For Such a Time as This. I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians in chapter 2. I want to encourage you, if you did not listen to or weren't able to be here or listen to Renee's message from last week, I would strongly recommend it. Very, very good word concerning both waiting on the Lord and the time and season in which we're in. These are exciting days. One of the people in our Connect group made this comment, which I know to be true. If you spend some quiet time in the secret place, you can't help but sense a stirring and an excitement in the spirit. There is a lot going on right now, and there is a lot of things that don't look so good. But how many of you know, any time that there are things going on in the natural, there's even more going on in the spiritual. And God is moving, and He is working. And we have to know that He knows what He's doing. He's been at this a long time. And He's gotten really good at it. And when our ways are not His ways, we need to understand that His ways are better. Father really does know best. And we have to have a confidence in that. I want to bring us to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. I want to read through those, and then I want to start out in the middle and work my way out of it. How about that? Verse 12, chapter 2, Philippians. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. I want to start by focusing on a verse in the center of those verses, and it is verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If you're like me, you are maybe been made more aware in this past season of just how crooked and how perverse the generation we're living in is. There's just a lot of things going on, and you might say what I have said. I never thought I'd see some of these things in the nation in which I live, in the society in which I live. And there is a perverseness and there is a crookedness. And we need to be aware that that is the way of man. And we need to be aware that that has always been there, but it is being exposed in new and fresh ways. My prayer for a number of years, along with many of you I know, is, Lord, uncover everything that needs to be uncovered, that we might see things as they really are. Guess what? We're seeing things as they really are. And we're getting a front row seat to the perverseness and the crookedness of this generation. I grew up with the word crooked in my vocabulary. My dad was a carpenter. I worked with him as a carpenter. So I knew what a crooked board was. I knew what a crooked line was. But he always used to have a phrase, watch out for that guy, he's crooked. Watch out for this guy. He's crooked. Watch out for that business. It's crooked. And I knew what he meant. There was a crooked, very wealthy man in town that I grew up in, and he had a very nice house built, and when contractors were done, he didn't pay them. And all through the process, and then there was a stone cutter who would cut stones and build beautiful fireplaces, and this guy wanted him to build a fireplace for him. He said, "All right, I will. You pay me half now and half when I'm done." So they struck up a deal. He built him a fireplace, and when it came to the end of the project, he wouldn't pay him the rest of what he owed him. However, when he went to use the fireplace, he found out it didn't work. His house filled up with smoke. And so he assumed that the chimney was blocked, so he shines a light up from the bottom. He looks up from the bottom. He shines a light down from the top down, and it's wide open. And he calls the guy, and he says, "My chimney doesn't work." He says, "You pay me the rest of the money, the chimney will work." And so they came to an agreement to meet at the house on a certain day. And he said, "When you come, bring cash. I don't want a check." And so he brought him and he handed him the cash. The bricklayer or the stone cutter goes to his truck, gets a ladder, puts it up against the house, gets a brick out of his truck, and he goes up onto the chimney and drops the brick down through the chimney. He said, "Now it'll work." He had laid a pane of glass. Any of those of you who have ever put in a chimney, there is a flue. They're roughly 30 inches or 3 feet long. And he had laid a pane of glass so the smoke could not get up the chimney. Looked like it was clear, but it wasn't. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Jesus said, and see, we shouldn't be amazed. And our text says we're in the midst of this, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. By the way, crooked means warped or unfair. Perverse means perverted, sincerely distorted. We all know what both crooked and perverse looks like. And we're in the middle of it. It looks like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. There are so many songs that we have been singing for quite a while now that are just reaching their prophetic maturity. We just sang one this morning, Waymaker. That is a prophetic song, and we've been singing it for I don't know how long, but it is just now really reaching its prophetic maturity of where we can sing it with some understanding, because we need a waymaker, maybe more than we ever have before. We need a miracle worker, maybe more than we ever have before. And we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And he says that he wants us to do some things. He says that you may become blameless and harmless. How many of you have been finding you've had an opportunity to become blameless and harmless? How many of you thought you were blameless and harmless until some things started to rise up in you when you saw what was going on, heard what was being said, and had to wear a mask or whatever the situation was, and something rises up in you and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We are becoming, doesn't say we are, but we are becoming harmless. We're becoming blameless. That word harmless means unmixed or pure. It's really a term that has to do with wine that has a mixture in it that's not right, or metal that has an additive in it that hinders its strength. It really has to do with not being a mixture of good and evil. How many of you, don't raise your hand, oh my goodness, I don't ask these questions for you to really, really, really raise the hand, but how many of you found a little bit of feistiness rise up in you like you'd like to take somebody behind the woodshed and punch them out? Come on, don't raise your hand. How do you think I know that? How many of you have discovered that there's some feelings and some in you that wants to do things your way instead of God's way? We just heard this morning about awesome prayer and prophetic word about love. How many of you found there's times when love isn't the first thing that rises to the surface in you? Except maybe I'd love to punch your lights out. Just saying. We're just being honest here this morning. I know that's none of you. But me and my wife, we've had some good discussions. How many of you feel like there's been some really injustice that's gone on? What does it do in you? Are you becoming blameless and harmless in a perverse generation? Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Oh my goodness. We are in a war. There's no doubt about that. It's in a war. It's a war that we've always been in, but it has been escalated and we are more aware of it. There's a hostility against you and I as believers. There's a hostility against our values, against truth, against justice. There's a hostility against our Christ, whether we realize it or not. And it may not be spoken in that word, but it is. The thing that we need to understand is that it is not a political battle, it is a spiritual battle. It's waged, and it may be waged in the political arena, but it is a spiritual battle, brothers and sisters. And you and I must wage a warfare that is spiritual. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and imaginations, first and foremost in our own hearts and in our own minds. It's not political, it's about what is scriptural, and it's about truth. It's not about Democrat or Republican, it's about you and I taking a stand as a Christian for Christian values. It's not about socialism or capitalism, it's about kingdom of God. By the way, the kingdom of God carries with it both the best of socialism and capitalism. You're here because of a socialistic gospel that freely gave you something you couldn't get for yourself. Socialism is just simply the community caring for the individual. Now it gets all out of whack when man runs with it, but it is God's way. Pure religion and undefiled, right, James, is to care for the widow and the orphan in their distress. Salvation is a gift, a free gift. Capitalism gets all out of whack when the wealthy get wealthier and don't do anything with it, to give it away, to sow it. The kingdom of God is a wonderful mix of and form of government that both cares for and calls for a responsibility. And so it's not about any of these things. It's about the kingdom of God, and it's about the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind us again, Jesus said to his disciples, to his team, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Nothing new. So be as harmless as a dove and as wise as a serpent. You shine as lights, holding fast the word of life. That word, the meaning for the word there is not rhema, it's logos. It's the declared word, the spoken word. What is God speaking to you in this time and in this season? Hold fast to that. I would encourage you to be careful of the voices you listen to. I would listen for the voice of God. What's He telling you? What do you hear Him saying? And if you're here this morning and you don't think you can hear the voice of God, I want you to know that's just a lie. You can. And you do more than you realize. What has been going on the inside of you? Where is the peace? I appreciated what Renee said last week. We will have a peace when our mission is God's mission. We lose our peace when we are on a mission and on a cause that God's not all about. You know what He spoke to me this morning, actually? I had to write it down when I got here because He spoke it to me as driving in. God is as never as impressed with our heroes as we are. I'll say that again. God is never as impressed with our heroes as we are. And He's never as depressed with our enemies as we are. Amen. He's not that impressed or depressed with anything or anybody. And we need to understand that. And many times we are about a cause which God, or we're on a cause and on a mission that God put us on. But can I say this? Old saying, if the horse is dead, dismount. Just saying. If God gave you a mission and an assignment, carry it through to the very end. But check in with Him from time to time to see if He's giving you a new assignment. Verse 12 through 14. Beloved, as you have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. What is He working in you in this time? What is He calling you and telling you to do? Do that. We are in a war. We are in a battle. If I were to ask for a raise of hands, there'd be some here in this room that served in the army. There'd be some here that served in the Air Force. There'd be some that served in the Marines. There may be some that served in the Coast Guard or in the Merchant Marines. All the same battle. We are not all called to fight this war the same way. How is God encouraging you to fight this war? What is He telling you to do? Renee, in her message last week, talked about how we have developed new habit patterns, my words, not hers, of new ways of connecting and new levels of commitment, of connecting with God. I encourage you to continue to seek Him. What is He telling? What is He speaking to you? What is the word of life to you? What is the logos that you're hearing in the ear, not through the mouth of someone else, through your own ears, from the heart and the mouth of God? What is He speaking to you? Because He is working in you both to will to do and to do His good pleasure. He doesn't leave us off on our own to figure this out. He guides us and He directs us. And listen, we go through times of transition. We go through times of sorting out. We go through times of not being sure what to do yet. We are in that season in many ways as a church at large during this whole COVID thing and everything else. It has put things on pause in so many ways. And there's been a tendency to say, we've got it. And yet in the Spirit, there's a voice that says, hold your horses. Hold steady. There are times when God works and we rest. We sang it this morning. And I don't remember exactly how it goes, but basically it says we may not see Him working, but He still is. God is at work. God is answering our prayers more likely, more closely than we realize at this time. If our prayers have been for the mission of a harvest, if our prayers have been for the mission of making disciples, if our prayers have been for the mission of reaching this nation and other nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God is answering those prayers. This portion of Scripture takes shape under a bigger umbrella. We started in the middle of the chapter, but the Apostle Paul, is setting the stage for this many verses earlier. Verse 12 says, therefore, I want us to read the first 11 verses to see why the therefore is therefore. In other words, therefore, what is he talking about? He's talking about our posture while living in a crooked and perverse generation. He's talking about our posture while becoming blameless and harmless. He's talking about our posture while we do all things without complaining and disputing. Verse 1, chapter 2, Philippians. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. The posture of the church in this time and season should be a posture of humility. If you want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a crooked and a perverse generation, take a posture of humility and reflect the nature of our Lord. There is a tendency in us to want fire, to fight fire with fire. And I tell you this, if you do, you will get burned. Dan opened this morning talking about the armor of God. And I'll tell you this, it has not 1 ounce of asbestos in it. We do not fight fire with fire. The ways of, and here's why. That's human nature and that's human fighting. But what that does is leave God out of the equation, because He will not traffic in that arena. He is looking for a people who will cast all their confidence upon Him. You want to make America great again? Make Jesus great again in America. That's what He's about. That's what He's doing. That's what He's always been doing. That's what He wants you and I to be about. And that doesn't mean anything other than that God is at work. And we must fight the fight of faith, and we must fight the way He fights. And one of the ways and postures that we take is humility. Let me read to you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. If my people who are called by my name will take a posture of humility. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our tendency is to be tired of that formula and say, God, there's got to be a better way. But I don't care whether you read the old covenant or the new. The way of God is the way of humility. It's the truth. Now, that doesn't mean we're not active. That doesn't mean we're not feisty. That doesn't mean we don't pray with some oomph in our gut. But it does mean that we recognize that our hope is in God and that He is not impressed with our heroes. And He's not depressed with our enemies. But He's looking for a people, and that people has got to be the church. If not the church, then who? It's got to be a people who will look to God and say, our hope is in You and You alone. Do you think that He can't do what He wants to do without any certain individual, including me or you? Oh my gosh. Come on. He resists the proud. Here's the reason humility is the key. God resists the proud. You want to know what's been going on lately? God has been resisting the proud. Do you remember at times and seasons when God would be angry with the children of Israel, Moses did the most logical thing? He hit the deck. He fell on his face before God. Do you know why? It's not wise to remain standing when God's about to take a swing. I'll say that again. It is not wise to stand up when God's about to swing. And humility, a posture of humility and being very low, is a very wise place to be in, because God is about to swing. And He's already doing it, but we don't like what He's doing, because you just can't do it that way, God. Yes, He can and He will. Don't think that God is done. He's not done. He's still working. He's still bringing things to pass. Funny thing about Him, He does things His way. And it can undo us if we are not in tune with his heart and his heartbeat. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. That's why it is so wise to seek to be humble. That is why it is so wise to be blameless and harmless. That is why it is so wise to be without complaining and disputing. We must choose humility over pride. We must choose love over hate. We must choose redemption over revenge. We must be careful that we don't get involved in a war of words. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. What sword have you been swinging? Just thought I'd ask. Part of what frustrates us is found, and it's the only verses we haven't read out of our text yet, verse 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul, who, by the way, writes these words from prison. Scholars aren't sure where. I'm not going to pretend like I know. But how many of you know prison is prison? Yes. Verse 17, chapter 2. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. One of the things that we don't like about humility and about waiting on God is it's too much like a drink offering. A drink offering was taking about a quart, a measure, which was about a quart of wine, good wine. Did you ever think about the sacrifices? What a waste of a good lamb dinner they were. All those meals just sacrificed up in smoke. And then he comes to this drink offering, and now I got to sacrifice my wine too. A whole quart of it. And you pour it. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. If I am being poured out as a drink offering, what a waste. What a waste for the Apostle Paul to be sitting in prison off the playing field, our quarterback. And he's not even on the field. And sometimes we feel like I'm supposed to take a posture of humility, and we feel so useless. And it feels so wasteful for my life to become a drink offering. Time just keeps ticking. And I'm being poured out. Doesn't God know who I am? Doesn't God know what we could accomplish if he'd let me into the game? Come on. I remember shortly after I got saved, kneeling down at up in northern Minnesota, we burnt wood at that time, and I happened to be out by the wood pile, and I was just having time with God, and I realized there was a call on my life, and this was weeks after I was saved, and I knew that I had a call on my life. Didn't understand even what that meant, but I remember kneeling down, and I said, God, I will give you my whole heart, but I do not want to sit on the bench and do nothing. And there's times when we are a drink offering and we are just being wasted. And we waste our time in prayer when we could be on the field doing something. But God is still working and He's still playing the field. And it's in those times that we realize, oh, wait, I wasn't the quarterback at all, was I? I was the water boy. Get your buck, buck, bucket, boy. Come on. Here's what we think. We think that God needs us or somebody else to get His project done, His mission done. He uses us in spite of us, and He uses other people in spite of them, but He all along resists the proud. And so there are those times when we think that we've gotten good at what He's called us to do, that He sets us on the bench. We need to be at peace with what God is doing in this hour, and we need to be at peace with being a drink offering if that's what He's asking us to be. And I don't mean you're going to die tomorrow. But you might. Father, we thank You for Your working in our lives. We thank You for Your desire to do awesome and great things in our sphere and in our nation and in our country and in our world. We thank You, Father, for Your desire and Your purpose and Your plan. And we say yes to Your plan, Lord, and we will work out our salvation with fear and trembling, realizing that it is You that causes us both to do and will to do Your good pleasure. We will purpose to be a people who are blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked and perverse culture. And we thank You that we were born for such a time as this. We thank You that we can do this because it requires a humility. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.